Hi, welcome to another inspirational message recorded live at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
It is Sunday morning. Jesus is still on the throne. We are clothed and in our right mind, and so we got a reason to celebrate. And I don't know about you, but I'm glad to be found in Christ. I can recall the former life, the former desires and pleasures, but so grateful to be found in Him. Amen. It's so good to connect with you guys this morning. As you can see, I'm obviously not Pastor Alex, but I do want to honor him and Pastor Naomi, and I'm so grateful for the opportunity to grace the pulpit and to be able to bring the word of the Lord to you. As Pastor Mike always says, you know, with much fear and trembling, because the word of God is so powerful. And it truly is an honor to be able to stand up. So I pray that you would be blessed by the message this morning. The message is not a very long one, but I believe that it will really touch your heart. I'm just going to go ahead and put up the main text that we're going to look at here this morning, or at least one of them. If you could put up 1 Thessalonians 4 and 18. 1 Thessalonians 4 and 18, and it says this: therefore, comfort one another with these words. That word there, comfort, means to alleviate sorrow or distress and to give emotional strength to someone. You know, for the past 6 weeks or so, we have been inundated from just about every media outlet known to man with information regarding COVID-19, our economy, President Donald Trump, government, and the list goes on and on and on. Everywhere that you go, it's kind of the talk of the town, or I'll say the talk of the world, because the whole world has been affected by this. And the conversations have been predominantly negative, deceptive, and even at times devastating. It's been a whole lot of bad news, day after day after day. Well, I don't know about you, but I think it's time for some good news this morning. Amen. I think it's about time that there is something that is put out there that uplifts people and causes them to hope and to look forward to the future. I love our church because even through the midst of everything that's been going on, we have just kept the ball rolling. You guys have been able to connect, and we've been sharing the word of the Lord. We've been praying. We've been pressing in and stuff. We're not going to let the things of this world get us down or stop us from sharing the gospel and glorifying our King. So today, as I share the word of the Lord, I pray that it would bring you great comfort and also an exciting anticipation. You know, those of you that kind of watched the U-Group teaching this past week, you saw that I kind of shed light on one of the first letters of Paul, 1 Thessalonians, and that's really kind of where I'm going to stay at and just kind of continue on. It's such a blessing. So that scripture that says, comfort one another with these words, well, what words is he talking about? You see, the Thessalonians that Paul was writing to, they were no strangers to uneasy times. They had been persecuted and experienced persecution because of their faith and the decision to follow Christ. Even some of them were grieving and hurting because they had lost some people that were near and dear to them, and they were concerned about what happened to them. Where did they go? But what's amazing about this is the Apostle Paul is, when you're going through some things in your life, some people can come and try to console you. They can come and give you a hug, and there's a lot of things they can do to try to bring you comfort. But there's something about the Word of God that does what no other or any other thing can do. And Paul chose to give them the Word of God, or to give them the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, to comfort them in the time of the stuff that was going on with them. So let's look at the previous verses 16 and verses 17 of 1 Thessalonians to see what it was that Paul gave these believers to continue to uplift them. 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 through 18. He says, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air." Do you hear me, church? This is good news. "And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." I love it because the Apostle Paul could have came with excellency of speech or wisdom of man's word, but he came with the gospel. He came with the work of Christ to bring comfort, to lift and bring people out of depression, sorrow, and despair, to strengthen them. And every time I think about Jesus coming back, there's something that happens on the inside of me. There's an anticipation, an excitement that builds up on the inside of me that we get to look and see him come and to be caught up in the heavens with him and be reunited with him and the saints of old and be united with our loved ones that died in Christ. You see, Paul reminded the Thessalonians that death was not the end. Death had been defeated, and death was defeated by one. And the same one that defeated death is the same one that is going to crack the sky, and he's going to come back for every single one that has put their faith in Christ. I want to encourage you to look at somebody this morning and tell them, and if there's nobody around you, look in the mirror and tell yourself and encourage yourself like David said, sometimes you got to encourage yourself in the Lord. And look at somebody and tell them that he's coming back for me. Tell them that he's coming back for me. You see, I'm not left as an orphan. I'm not left to, you know, that for this great future that is coming. I'm not left to out of it. For he is coming, and he's coming for us. You see, I love it about how powerful the Word of God is. Because no matter what you're going through and whatever need you have in your life, the Word of God can bring the remedy to whatever solution you have. All you got to do is search, seek, and try to find it. You don't believe me? Let's look at Psalm 119 for a second. Many believe that the writer of Psalm 119 was David. I'm not 100% certain, but you know that doesn't really matter because we know that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. We know that the Holy Spirit is the one that inspired the writer to put these words down. Psalm 119 and verse 50 says this: "This is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life." That word comfort means something that brings me encouragement. Affliction is anything that causes misery, oppression, captivity, poverty, frustration, or hardship. And life means to preserve, to restore, to nurture, to cause to flourish, and to revive. So this man of God is in affliction, but he says, "I've got something that's going to encourage me and get me out of where I have been." And it is his word. I look to his word. I'm reminded of his promises and the things that he has said concerning my life. And it does something that medication can't do. It does something that my neighbor cannot do. It does something on the inside of me and causes me to get out of my sick bed, to get out of the grave, and begin to rejoice and lift up a sound and a shout of praise to the God of my salvation. I don't know about you, but when I can't get a breakthrough, sometimes I just got to open up the word and I got to look at Psalm 42, Psalm 63, 91, 51, Psalm 139. I got to begin to look to the word and begin to declare the word, speak it out loud. And there is something supernatural about the word of God when you speak it, because it starts to strengthen your spirit, man. That resurrection power begins to be activated, and you get up and out of where you have been. I don't know about you, but this is good news, because when I look to the world for an answer, there was no answer. They don't have an answer. Jesus is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. The Word of God can strengthen you when you are at your very weakest. And it's so beautiful. Because you see, we look in the world and you'd like to believe the media. You'd like to believe when you read the news that it's true news, but unfortunate, most of the time it's not. And I'm not just trying to criticize, you know, the news broadcast stations and things like that, but we look to the world and we can't find truth. Oh, but I rejoice this morning because you might not be able to believe the media, your neighbor, or any other, but there is one. There is one that cannot lie. There is one that said some things in times of old. And those very things that he said came to pass. And it strengthens us to be able to take his word. John 2, 19 through 22. I'm talking about Jesus. I'm talking about the living Son of God. I'm talking about the resurrected King. I'm talking about the one who was, is, and is to come. I'm talking about the one that comes. And on him it says the word of God. I'm talking about the King of Jews. I'm talking about the I am that I am this morning. John 2, 19 through 22 says this. Jesus answered and said to them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Then the Jews said, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you're going to raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body. Therefore, when he had risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said to them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus said. I think about how powerful that is. I can think about the disciples walking with Jesus. And he's telling them, they're ready for him to just start reigning, and he's the king and all of this stuff. And then he talks about how he's gonna die. And then how he's gonna die, but then he's gonna be raised from the dead and everything else. And he's probably just going in one ear and out the other, and they're not really understanding and grasping what he's saying. But then John 20 and 27 says this from the one. Hallelujah. Then he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here and look at my hands." Uh-oh. "And reach your hands here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." The one who said he was going to die and he was going to be raised 3 days later is now, he's back. Hallelujah. The tomb was empty. They couldn't find him, but then he began to appear to his disciples. And he took Thomas and told him, he said, "It's me. Here. Check me out. See if what I said is true or not." And then he goes on and it gets better. John 14, verses 2 and 3. The same one says this. "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." I don't know about you, but I don't care what's going on in this world. What I'm focused on, where my heart is going to be with my King. You know, Paul said something so powerful, and I think it's in the book of Romans, maybe around chapter 8. He says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not even worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us." They're not even worthy. The things that are going on in this world, this old man, this flesh that we got to deal with, you know, the going against the grain of in a world that doesn't embrace the Christian culture and our way of life and our King, the one who died for the world. But that's okay, because I know that in a twinkling of an eye and in a moment, things are going to begin to change. I know that because he said that he was going to die, that he was going to raise from the dead. Nobody else has been able to do that. I know that I can take his word to the bank. And therefore, when he says, "I'm leaving and I'm going to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be there also," that means he's coming back for me. And I'm excited about that. Are you excited this morning, church? You see, I keep thinking about like COVID-19, and I'm not trying to downplay it, because I know this is serious. This is something that we've never experienced before. And we've watched over the last 6, 7, 8 weeks or so how people have been shaken by this. I think about how families, cities, nations have been affected and shaken by this. But I want to tell you something, church, to you that are watching, that have put your faith in Christ. There is something that you possess that the world cannot shake. There is something that you possess that has been given to you that the world cannot touch or cannot change. It is referred to in the book of Hebrews as so great a salvation. Nobody can take what God has put and given unto us. All hell can be breaking loose around us. All things in this world can be shaken. But the God of my salvation, who he has made to be, coronavirus, no plague can keep me from receiving my glorified body. He said that he will descend with a shout. He's coming with the saints of old. That when he comes, the dead that are in Christ are going to rise. And then weary that are remain, if that be us, are going to reach. And we're going to meet him in the sky. And there ain't nothing that the devil can do about it. There ain't nothing that the world, the government, or anybody else that opposes the kingdom of God, they cannot do anything about it. I don't know about you, but that's some good news. Hallelujah, that's some good news. There is no famine then can keep me from being caught up. For you see, the Bible says that this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. I've got to change. I got a glorified body to receive. I got a place. The wedding chamber, hallelujah, is being prepared for me. It's being set up for me. I've got to go. And there ain't nothing you can do. I love you, but my king awaits. When the herald begins to speak, I got to go. We got to go. But we got to be ready to go. Hallelujah. You know, I think about the gospel, and I know it's so simple, but it's so powerful. We watched that video of the respected ministry. COVID, hallelujah. Man, tears just started to pour down my eyes when I started watching that, because what I see in that is that there is great need. There's a people that needs to be encountered and touched by the living God. And yes, COVID-19 and all of these things are trying to come and try to hinder it. But the body of Christ is out there still working. I saw one lady in a wheelchair. She had her hand up and she's moving and she's praising and she's worshiping. You see, somebody needs to know that Jesus is coming back. A lot know that he died and the blood that he shed, it makes a forgiveness of sins available. But we're living like nothing else is coming, like that's the end. Oh no, for there is a glory that awaits us that I cannot see nor ear heard. I can't even comprehend what lies await. And oh, hallelujah, in glory for us. The place where he wipes away every tear, hallelujah. We will always be with him. The place that Christ has prepared for us, it belongs to us, and there is nothing that the world can do about it. So I want to encourage you this morning, church. I want to encourage you to focus on the things that are important. I want to, you see, we can spend our time on a lot of different things. We can look at all of the news and we can get on the computer and we can scroll and we can search till we're blue in the face. But I want to share with you what Paul said to the Philippian church in Philippians 4 and 8. He said this: finally, my brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. You look at all of those things, man, the thing that comes to mind is Christ, the kingdom of God. I want to encourage you, church, just like kind of like David did. After what happened at Ziklag, you know, and everything was coming against him and he was in a difficult time in his life, the Bible says that he chose to encourage himself in the Lord. Sometimes you got to just turn off the TV. Sometimes you just got to close the laptop. You got to put down the phone. Sometimes you just got to click on the music. You got to shut the door. You got to begin to worship. You might not be able to carry a tune in a bucket. You might have two left feet, but the God of your salvation delights in what you are doing. And when you do it, all of COVID-19 and the stress and the economy and Donald Trump and the government and everything else begins to slowly fade away. Sometimes you got to make the decision to exalt the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You gotta just take time out and spend with Him. Sometimes you gotta just open up the Word and you gotta begin to read it. Sometimes you gotta just shut yourself out from the world and just pray until something happens. Sometimes you gotta cry and get on your knees and cry out to God. Sometimes you gotta, even in the midst when things look bleak and things are really, really tough, you gotta remind yourself to in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. But your flesh can't find anything to be thankful for, but you got to push in and you got to press and you begin to thank Him. Thank God for my life. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the resurrection. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your spirit. Thank you for the glory that awaits. Thank you for my family, my wife, my ministry. Thank you for my church. Thank you for my brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you for the saints of old that are in the Faith Hall of Fame. Thank you for the example that they have set that I can too run my race. Hallelujah. Sometimes you just got to do something. Sometimes you just got to do something. I encourage you this morning, church, to celebrate your God. And I encourage you to look for Him because He is coming. I can't tell you He's coming next Tuesday. I can't tell you that He's coming 2025. I don't know. But I do know this. I am fully persuaded. I am assured that He's coming back. And He's coming back for me. I know that. He's coming back for you. And He's coming back for everyone that has put their faith in Christ. But in the same breath that I tell you to celebrate Him and look for His coming, I tell you also to herald the gospel. I tell you because time is short, church. And the same anticipation and excitement that we have to meet Him and to be with Him forever, others need that too. So I want to encourage you to be able to be God's mouthpiece. And to tell of the glorious story, the greatest love story ever written. Don't allow the media to push you down. Don't allow the negativity or the trials and everything else to keep you from pressing in and celebrating God. Because greater is He that is in you than he that is in this world. You've got something so precious. You have a down payment for glory that awaits. There is a place for you. Be blessed this morning, church. I know this is a short word. I pray that this word encourages you and that you look forward to His return. I just want to read this scripture to you one more time. The Bible says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up. You can call it rapture. You can call it the catching away of the saints. You can call it whatever, but He's coming back. We will be caught up together with Him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. In the midst of the pandemic of COVID-19, I choose as a minister and a child of God, I choose to comfort you in these days with none other than the powerful Word of God. You guys be blessed. Father, I pray in Jesus' name. I pray, Father, that this Word would resonate with each and every one that is watching, even those that are watching that do not have this glorious hope because they've not yet received Christ. I pray that this would be the day of their salvation, the day that they surrender their hearts and accept Christ's work on the cross on their behalf, that they would receive Him and receive the life and the things that He has in store for them. Father, I pray that this word would strengthen every believer. And Father, that our mind would be renewed. Father, that the weight and the depression and all of the stuff that has been weighing heavily because of the things that have been going on in this world would begin to fall off. and that we would arise in a celebratory fashion, Father, exalting our soon coming King and looking forward to your return. Father, we bless and we honor you tonight in no other name, but in the glorious name of our King we pray. Amen. God bless you guys. We love you so very much. Please, guys, enjoy your afternoon. Enjoy those that are around you. Enjoy the presence of God. We look forward to seeing you tonight at 6 p.m. God bless you.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.